Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS Sports' Evan Washburn. He's all over the place, man. Always enjoy his work on the HQ and obviously doing the sidelines. Evan was here in town last weekend to cover the Atlanta Falcons against the Washington Commanders. Evan, first of all, thanks for joining us, but I want to start a little bit away from football. Well, maybe not so far away from it. We've been having this conversation all day. The Falcons are on a bye week. Is it okay to have a B team? Like, is it acceptable in your realm if you're like, you know what, man, they're not playing this week. The Braves are not playing playoff baseball for the first time in a long time. Are we allowed to have a backup squad, or is that something that you frown upon?
Backup squad in what sense?
Well,
like, what is this doing in the bye week?
Somebody that you're watching when your squad is not playing. Somebody that you're like,
oh,
you know
yeah.
What? Yeah.
No doubt. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I think we're in a space now how easy it is to consume every kind of sport imaginable. And if you find yourself all of a sudden wanting to be an ETL fan for this weekend, since you don't have baseball or football or American football, then maybe you hop across the pond and become a big fan of Burnley.
Yeah. I like that. He's talking about a B sport. He's like, not even a B team. We'll just go B sport.
If we're talking, you can't buy merch or anything. We're just talking about watching.
No jersey, just watching.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Well, obviously, Evan, we're very excited about the Falcons' win over the Commanders. What do you think the difference was for the Falcons from week three with that loss to Carolina and then last weekend's win?
Well, I think you have to start offensively. Just a much cleaner operation. There was an urgency that led to higher level of execution. I was just extremely impressed with the fact that with everything around them sort of swallowing up that team and that offense specifically, whether it was Michael Penix Jr. or Zach Robinson or that group, obviously they let go Ike Hilliard, all those things, that can be one of those fork in the road moments where are we going to go down this path where it's just a grind or it's the start of a really rough season. And they're not out of the woods by any means. They won one game and they played really well. But just to have that level of response to me was what struck me. And it showed you what the ceiling is for that offense. And that's the goal each week is to hit it.
Evan Washburn hanging out with us, obviously reporter, host, analyst for CBS Sports. He was on the sideline this past weekend on the call with Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt. Evan, I guess one of the questions I want to ask, and I do want to go back to this game this past weekend, Raheem made the comment a couple of weeks ago that Bijan Robinson's the best player in the NFL. You've seen just about all of them at this point, man. You've been around the NFL for a long time. I don't know that I'm asking you to make that proclamation, but just what did you make of Raheem's words when a head coach comes out and says something like that about a player of his caliber?
Well, I think you always have to put what a coach says in context to what it is they're trying to do, and that's motivate their locker room, their team, and in some cases a player specifically. But it doesn't feel like just lip service when it comes to Raheem's belief in Bijan. And Raheem's been around the league for a long time, longer than I have, and I think he wouldn't throw that type of praise on a player if he didn't feel like, one, he can handle it, and two, he could back it up, because he's putting his name on those words. I think Bijan potentially could be in that conversation with some of the best offensive players in our league, and he's well on his way just with the way he started his career, but the way he's handled this season. I think you see a difference this year, and I think that goes with maturity, the way he handled the offseason. We got to touch on it in the broadcast, the fact that he could spend time with a guy like Christian McCaffrey, who has a lot of the similar skills that Bijan has, but I would argue Bijan could take it to another level. And just the biggest key is remaining healthy. And that's such a challenging spot in that position because they're really asking him to do so much. I mean, he's basically is playing two positions for this Falcons offense, which means he's twice as likely to be in a compromised spot to get injured.
Yeah, and we've been reviewing the season so far for the Falcons with them on the bye week. I mean, there have been some ups and downs as far as Michael Penix. And we're kind of curious, how do you keep the momentum coming off that Commanders win, or the Falcons win over the Commanders through the bye week to face Buffalo? How do they keep that momentum going?
I think by remaining on edge, and I think that's what they had in the week after the Carolina loss. You never want to be embarrassed like that on a NFL stage, but I think it created a sense of, hey, we're in this together. We got each other's back. Everybody else is against us. And I think that can be a powerful tool. And they used it in a proper way in the win over the Commanders. So by no means have this sense of relief based off of that win, especially if you're Michael Penix Jr. And I don't get that sense from him. He's a young guy, but he's been through a lot in terms of his collegiate career. I think people forgot that when they were saying, oh my gosh, how's he going to get over this 30-0 loss where he played terrible? It's like, this guy's been through injuries where most people would have been like, all right, I'm done with football. So his resiliency was on display. So I would say keeping that edge and keeping that communication with Zach Robinson, that staff, and build upon this, and don't think that, all right, we've solved the problem.
Hanging out with Evan Washburn from CBS Sports. Evan, I was checking out your assignment this coming up weekend. Looks like you're going to be on the Houston Texans, Baltimore Ravens call. Those are a couple of teams that are off the disappointing starts. What have you made of that matchup so far, and you know, the work you've done building up to that game on Sunday?
Well, it's similar to what you guys faced in Atlanta last week, where I thought for the Falcons, that was an incredibly important game at such an early point in the season. And I mentioned the two roads, and that's kind of where I see both the Ravens and Texans this week. And for the Ravens, they also have to deal with the litany of injuries they're trying to overcome, including their quarterback. So you never want to kind of count a team out, but just the math starts to work against you if you're to lose this game and go to 1-4. We know how that the numbers work there. I think both these teams are playoff caliber teams, the Texans and Ravens, but it's hard to accept that as a reality if you start 1-4. So this has that type of intensity as we get ready for it on Sunday.
So this might be a superficial question, Evan, but I am curious, what's it been like working with JJ Watt?
Yeah.
Oh no, it's a valid question. It's been great. I knew him a little bit from his time at CBS where he was working in the studio. So we'd cross paths when they would come on the road to some of our bigger games. And then a few times met with him as a player. And obviously he's got a reputation of just being such a good person, and that's lived up to it. But what I've just been so impressed by is just how all in he is at the job. And so many former players get into this business, and I think it takes them some time to figure out, like, okay, this is how I'm supposed to study. This is how I translate my knowledge onto the TV screen and make things understandable for the common fan. And he's picked that all up, honestly, in the first few weeks of the season. So it's pretty incredible. So yeah, we're having a blast.
That's funny, man. I had no doubt that he was going to be absolutely incredible in the booth. And I think Falcons fans have enjoyed his coverage. There's no doubt about it. And I want to talk about that a little more. Let me take Mercedes-Benz out of the equation here, because I'm going to save you from getting any hate tweet from Falcons fans. What's your favorite venue to work at, man? You've been doing it over a decade now around the NFL. You've been to all these stadiums. There's some pretty cool ones out there that you get a chance to go work at.
Well, look, nothing will beat what Lambeau is. It's the unicorn of the league for so many reasons. So I kind of put that in a separate conversation for those that have been to Fenway or Wrigley, kind of similar, but I would say even on another level because of where it's located. It'd basically be like you're driving through a suburb of Atlanta and then all of a sudden there's an NFL stadium, and it's one where there's very little branding. There's still bleacher seats. I mean, it is old school. It's time machine stuff, and it's awesome. I would say I'm a big fan of the late 90s, early 2000s venues, where they've done upgrades so the fans enjoy themselves, but the product is still focused on what's happening on the field. So, I mean, a Pittsburgh here in Baltimore, those venues get rocking. They're still crazy loud. And I would say, though, my favorite outside of, again, Lambeau is, and it's our last year there, and I hope we get a game there soon. It's Orchard Park. It's Buffalo, man. It's the closest thing to doing an SEC game, I imagine, or being in college, but even more so because the place is just, it's bonkers. And the fans are literally like right on top of the field. So that one's going to be my favorite for a while. And obviously they're moving into a fancy new spot next year.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Evan, last thing before we let you go, and I'm glad you brought up Buffalo. The Falcons, obviously, on the bye week this week, but Monday Night Football coming up in, about 9 days away that you'd be facing off with the Buffalo Bills. What do the Falcons have to do to be able to stop Josh Allen and actually get a win against a Buffalo team with their eyes set on the Super Bowl?
Score 30-plus points again. Would be my best advice is not thinking that you're going to stop Josh Allen or slow them down to the point where it's, hey, we can win a 14-10 game or something, even probably sub 20. So all the things we talked about at the front end of this, offensively, have that thing on hyperspeed, ready to roll, feeling good, confident, because it does feel like, the Ravens proved it in week one. I mean, you can't even win if you get into the 40s with that group. So that's really, to me, the formula right now. And I do think there's some vulnerability for Buffalo defensively. I think they've got some talented guys there. But I do think that that's where you can try and gain an edge, if you will, to try and upset that squad.
That's good stuff, man. That's CBS Sports. Evan Washburn was on the call this last weekend. He's in Baltimore for his call this weekend. Hey, thanks a lot for hanging out with us this morning, Buzz.
You guys got it. See ya.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.